Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Do you think of your childhood and remember long summer days in parks, fishing in rivers, perhaps playing conkers, climbing trees and maybe ending up in scrapes? Well, many of today's children are so heavily supervised and thought of as so vulnerable that virtually all risk is removed from their day-to-day lives. So why is it that today's parents have become so much more risk averse when it comes to their children? And is it time to bring back risky play? Well, I'm joined by Dr. Claire Crowe, paediatric clinical psychologist and member of the Psychological Society of Ireland, and Diarmaid Ling, former intercounty hurler and owner of Wild Irish Retreats. And you're both welcome. So Claire, this idea of risky play, it sounds like it's about sending your children off alone to the forest or something, but what exactly does it mean?
Yeah, so risky play is play that is physical or expressive, but always involves an element of risk or challenge or adventure. So lots of different things. So something with high speed, like swinging on a rope, heights, climbing a tree, rough and tumble, so wrestling or disappearing, so camouflage, those kind of games. Again, high intensity, high fun and exhilarating.
So beyond the playground.
Beyond the playground, absolutely. So there is an element of danger or risk, but the idea is the probability of that eventuality leading to something dangerous is lower. So the idea is to try it, to aim for the risk, because it's worth it, because only 1 in 100 times will your child fall out of that tree. Mm-hmm. So, and even if they fall, they might break an arm, but it's worth that development for the child to learn to assess risk, to see what can I do to set their own limits and expectations.
So why have we become as parents risk averse in the main?
Yeah, I think there's one of the things is we have time. So we have that almost man marking of our children. So we go to the playground and there's one on one with a child and we're underneath them. And the other part of it is risk has become more in our mindset as a society. So with the onset of the internet, we kind of feel risk is in our homes more. Mm-hmm. So we project then our fears onto our children. So you see a parent in the playground and they say, careful, careful, careful. And the child, it doesn't matter what the child is on, but the child is then getting the message that everything is dangerous, which does two things to the child. One is they become reckless because they think, well, nothing is really dangerous because it's fine. Or they become really anxious because everything is fearful. So the key thing for parents is to give a child space and time to do it themselves, because they can surprise you. And what happens in that surprise is the child learns mastery and confidence. And that risky part of play is really important in them developing a sense of self-direction. I can do this. I can take on a challenge that's unique and I manage it.
So Diarmaid, thank you very much for joining us. Your children are how old?
5 and 2, Claire.
Mm-hmm. And wild as hares, are they?
Increasingly, like definitely looking to bring them into it more. I mean, what I hear when I listen to Claire speaking there is what I'm trying to do is create conditions in which my children have a chance to build a relationship with. Okay, you can term it risk, but if you break that down into individual departments, then like we'd say something like fire, and there seems to be a real old traditional hang up there about fire, you know, and this, you know, whatever dangers around the fireplace and the home and things like that. But what I want in for my child, and we would be out more, maybe with wildfires, and what I'm trying to create is the conditions in which, first of all, I process and develop any fears that I'm holding on to in the situation, because I'm communicating those in very subtle ways, but also, you know, quite outrightly, as Claire had said, in how I communicate with them. But also, what I want to do is create conditions for them to build a relationship with fire. Now, unfortunately, that means at times they'll go close and they'll feel that little bit of a burn on their skin, and then they know, okay, that's the distance for that fire. That's what I can do. But ultimately, it's about them building the relationship with the element. And you know, I know that there's uncertainty with that, and I think it seems like it's a dangerous thing. And in individual situations, you know, people have to be able to make these decisions for themselves as to what they're comfortable with. But ultimately, I think the child has to be given the opportunity to develop the relationship themselves, because that's where the trust is going to build.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think you're going to reap the benefits of that then later on when they're teenagers?
I mean, you know, that's yet to be seen for sure. But ultimately, I think that like there's a phrase or a saying that, you know, the more a child is loved, the further away they can go as they get older. And I would see that process of individuation taking place much younger in my children, their ability to, you know, to head off themselves and to trust themselves in the, you know, in the safety of, you know, family environments, friend environments or whatever. But they're not stuck to us. They're not hanging on to us. They're not depending on us in that mm-hmm. same way. So they build a trust in themselves, and then also that they have an idea of what risk actually is, because they've built up that relationship, and then they know, you know, internally, they know intrinsically that they can trust themselves to make the right decisions at the right times. Now, that can go wrong, Claire, and that's the you know, you might say one in 100. And someone on the radio said that we can, you know, we should be creating more risky situations, but then my child is the one that falls from the tree. And it's like, you know, you don't want that. And this is the hard part of it. There are certain casualties, and that's very hard to take as a parent, because any form of struggle in your child is, you know, you're gutted when you become a parent in terms of how vulnerable you become, because you're just, you know, it's so heartbreaking to see them in any kind of distress whatsoever. But ultimately, in the long run, I think that it's essential. It's essential for their mm-hmm. development and for their emergence.
Claire, just going back there to when your children get a bit older and they become teenagers. So if you've allowed them to engage in risky play, given them a little bit more freedom when they're younger, how does that look then when they're teenagers and they have a bit more freedom at that stage anyway?
Yeah, so we always associate teenage years as times when people want to be engage in risky behaviours and challenging behaviours. So if we've set up something like Dermot outlined there, that idea where you continue risk, but we continue it in a socially acceptable way. So after World War II, we developed this, there's an idea of junk playgrounds or adventure playgrounds. So these were initiatives where bomb sites became playgrounds, and they sent, you know, they just fence them off and let kids go from the age of 2 to 22 and just build structures, dens, make their own of it. And what they found is children in those junk playgrounds were safer. They had saws, they had hammers, they had less physical injuries than children in our standard playgrounds. And the reason for that was children were challenged, but that key age, that teenage year, they were still engaging in risky behaviours, except mm-hmm. for it was in a designated area where it was acceptable, socially acceptable. So rather than trialing a substance, they could go build a, you know, some sort of a structure. So, you know, we do have to appreciate that children need the excitement of risk. You know, when your 5-year-old goes to the playground, they try something new and it's a challenge. But when your 10-year-old goes to the playground, it's too easy for them.
Yes.
So we really need to bring back risk into the world of our children, because mm-hmm. then it gives them the thrill and the adventure and the mastery of it. So those kind of initiatives that Dermot is talking about are really important, particularly for our teenage years, because we want to make the world exciting for them without them needing to do something that's, I suppose, socially unacceptable.
Yeah, that's the thing, Dermot, because when they get to 17, 18, they're going to be perhaps driving cars. They're going to be out in social situations on their own. And if we haven't given them a little bit of freedom when they're children, then you can just imagine what that's going to feel like. You're off the leash.
Yeah, I mean, this is a well-known phenomenon in the area of men's work in particular. I mean, maybe in women's work as well, I'm not sure, I don't take part in that. But in men's work, in the retreats that I would have, a lot of people that would be coming would maybe people who just pushed too hard, you know, they didn't develop that relationship, they didn't have that risk. And then when it came to 17, 18, 19, right through into their 20s, and where they had the opportunity for real risk, that is, in the keys of a car to a 17-year-old, that's the presence of drugs in society, that's, you know, these kind of serious things. If they haven't been prepared, they tend to go very extremely into that. And some don't make it through. And, you know, we don't see those on retreats because they haven't made it through. The ones that we get are the ones who just about by the skin of their teeth made it through. And they're looking to rebuild that relationship. They're looking to rebuild that relationship with themselves primarily, dealing with their fears, dealing with the things that are making them anxious, so that they can enter into risky situations in a much more capable way, I suppose. That's what we're all really looking to create.
And how do you find people respond when they see you allowing your children to, I don't know, climb a tree?
really interesting. There seems to be a veil of some sort over people's eyes, Claire. And it was highlighted to me one day in Killarney National Park, where my little fella was maybe, I don't know, was he picking conkers up off the ground and putting them in his mouth, and or was he hanging from a tree? But a man came by and really reacted very strongly, and said, you know, that's, you know, it's dirty, or you can't let a child do that, or you can't let him hang from the tree like that. And that's where your role as a parent. Then you have to step in. You have to step in strongly and enter into conversation with him. And within 5 minutes of talking to him about that, he was gone off down memory lane talking about his experiences of doing the very same thing 40 years, 50 years before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, why? My question to him was, well, why did you react in the way that you reacted when this is exactly what you did? And the same fella also lamented the fact that children aren't exposed to anymore. But there seems to be a veil there where our immediate reaction, whatever it is, I think there's a form of intergenerational trauma that is handed down that we do have to deal with. Like, this, I think this is ultimately it as well. You know, like, we have to create these conditions for kids as well, but we also have to deal with the conditions in ourselves. And if we don't know how to deal with our own anxieties, our own fears, things that we've carried down from maybe a safer way of looking at things, or a more fearful way of looking at things handed down by the church or whatever societal influences there have been, until we have the skills to personally develop and breathe into our own anxieties. And you know, this is what, I don't know how many times I've seen it happen, where, you know, you have a child running on a wall or something and some parent shouts, oh, get down, and there's this reaction, and all of a sudden the child falls, and it's like they feel that they've been proven correct, and I'm standing back looking at the situation thinking, do you not see what happened? The child fell because you lost faith, you lost trust, you frightened the life out of them by reacting in the way that you did. Mm. You know, they soak up our energy much more than our words at that age, I think. And I think if you take a fundamental feeling of trust in what's happening. Now, it has to be measured. Of course, you can't, you know, it's not releasing the wild. Like, it has to be measured. You have to know, okay, these are the repercussions. But I do have to deal with that in myself. And I think that area of self-responsibility is not something that we're not so strong on, I don't think. You know, and it is an ultimate acid test as well for our society at the moment, Claire. There are continued reports of increased anxieties, increased dependency on pills and tablets and things like that. What kind of a society are we building at the moment if our children are unsafe? Mm-hmm. If they're anxious. Now, we can have any kind of technological development we want. We can be, you know, we can fill Instagram with posts about how fantastic we are. But if our children aren't safe in themselves, what are we doing and how do we change it?
Safe and confident. And Claire, it's one thing to be anxious yourself about what your child is doing. But for a lot of people, they won't want to be perceived as being a bad parent by letting the child walk on the top of the wall or climb to the top of the tree. That's an issue there. You know, the reaction that the man had to Dermot when he was allowing his child to pick up conkers.
Yeah, there is definitely a social change. And you see that in policy and in how our childcare, you know, initiatives are rolled out. There's definitely that expectation of protecting your child. And you're seeing that's fundamentally failing as a parent. If you don't get that right, if they're not still alive at the end of the day, you failed. So there's a lot of pressure on parents to be seen to do the right thing. And it takes great courage. I love how Dermot is describing it there, to stand back and say, okay, you know, in our parenting partnership, I'm the one who gets more anxious. So why don't you take the lead when we decide to do some risky play? And because kids are exactly like Dermot said, they're body readers. So they will sense that your shoulders have raised, that you look a little bit, that your eye is twitching, that you look a little bit more anxious that they can do it. So you really want a parent to stand back and allow them to succeed and to fail at times, but in the confidence that they can do it. The risky play is so important for them because it encourages that generation who experience small pockets of tension, anxiety, frustration through play, and then also learn to master that. Mm-hmm. So remember, children always learn through play. So if we take risky play out of it, we're taking a really key important learning from them.
Yeah, and they need to know as well that a scratch on the knee or the elbow isn't going to kill them either.
Exactly.
You know? Well, Claire, thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Claire Crow and Dermot Ling. And if you want to find out more about Dermot's Wild Irish Retreat, you can go to wildirishretreat.ie.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.